Hello, my name is Larry Killip. I live in Auckland, New Zealand, and you can find me on larrykillip.com. That's K-I-L-L-I-P. From time to time, I make the odd podcast, and I hope you enjoy this one. Being a musician in Auckland, New Zealand in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and particularly playing an acoustic instrument, a guitar, violin, mandolin, cello, etc., meant that it would be highly likely you would need the services of Master Luthier Mr. Zetwitz at some time or other, for repairs, setup, a paint job, you name it. An expert luthier, Mr. Zetwitz and his shop, was situated in Karangahape Road in Auckland. An eccentric character, Mr. Zetwitz would talk at length on any given visit to his shop on the virtues of having him impart more tone into your instrument. Mr. Zetwitz seemed to have some secret method of imparting more tone into your instrument, and always handy would be such an instrument. This would be quickly demonstrated. There was also, of course, the impeccable workmanship. Mr. Zetwitz was getting on a bit when I first came across him, in the 60s, so you knew his skills were old school and unquestionable. The business, in fact, still exists today on Auckland's North Shore, run by his son Gordon, the older Mr. Zetwitz having passed away some years ago. Recently, in my archive of broadcast 16-inch acetates, I came across a gem. There was a radio interview with Mr. Zetwitz broadcast on 1ZB, when violins, not guitars, would be his core business, skills for which were handed down by his father before him. The interviewer is Mr. Chris Venning, and this was made in the early 1950s.
Good afternoon, everybody. This afternoon, we have Mr. Zetwitz in the studio. I went to see Mr. Zetwitz the other day, and in his shop, he has violins in the window and violins hanging from the ceiling, violins all around the walls. How long have you been making violins, Mr. Zetwitz?
Well, we started making violins from about 1909, actually, and we were established in 1907. We actually started making about 1909, and violin making was actually, in the first place, my father's inspiration. He had his own ideas. And his ideas were to improve further on what had been done by the previous and more and older makers.
Yes. I believe you... Did you actually do your violin making in England before you came out here?
No.
You came out and started... When did you come here?
1907. I was five.
and then your...
My father, actually, in Liverpool, he was working on a firm that made banjos and repaired all sorts of other instruments. But the man he worked with didn't do that much of violin work.
Yes.
The violin making was entirely his own inspiration.
If you came out here in 1907, was it? You must have seen a lot of Auckland being built. Do you remember very much about it?
Well. At that time, we saw the town hall for the Queen's seat being erected, and the Grafton Bridge came along a little later. And
I believe you remember Auckland when the boys were selling papers.
Well, used to sell papers from the Sir George Grey statue in front of the town where the town hall stands, and they used to also, some days in the week, they used to drive a herd of horses through from the auction mark, and
what about, I suppose you knew before the King George's Wharf was built in there, all the...
Well, along the waterfront, from where the power station is, going away from Auckland, they was just all the sea came up there, and they used to bring in the logs and timber for the mills, and the railway ran along just alongside. We used to go across the footbridge from the road the other side, and the small boys used to get on the logs, and of course invariably slipped in or logs turned over, and in they went.
Those were the days, I suppose, when you still had the bands wandering around.
And also there used to be an Italian band used to play on the corner of, sometimes on the corner of Wakefield Street and the top of Hobson Street and various other places. And there used to be a German band also.
Yes.
They used to play on the ferry boats for picnics, going down to the islands.
That's rather a nice islands. Idea. We'll have to see if we can get those back again.
Yes, I do.
In your violin making, did you get any special commissions from people to make violins, or do you just do your own
actually,
designs?
Actually, the times for commissions, that used to be when violins were very scarce and most things being bespoke work were always made to order. But in these days, most things, they like to hear the instrument before they buy it.
Yes, I suppose that's a very logical thing. How do you go about making a violin?
Well, of course, the first thing you've got to decide is what model you're going to make, and then you've got to sit out and make the mould to that model.
Have you won any prizes with your violins? Do you have any?
Well, at the 1913-14 exhibition, some of the my father's and violins were exhibited at 1913-14 exhibition, and he received the only gold medal for violin making.
And from then you've just progressed the whole time, haven't you?
From then we've gone on all the time improving further on tone production in the violin.
Yes.
Till we're now able, working on a scientific basis, able to offer the same, but it's able to add further improvements in balance and power and freedom of tone to the average violin.
I believe you left New Zealand and went back to England again,
yes,
didn't you?
Up to 1924 we were established here in Queen Street. My father decided that he'd got so far with his violins that he thought London would be the place to take them.
Yes.
And he went, and so we went to London and became established there.
Did you find that the work of violin making was hit very much during the slump? I know it hit everybody to a certain extent.
Yes, the violin, the slump, before the slump actually, the violin trade was hit, or musical trade was hit, because of the talkies coming into the theatres. Considerable number of, or most, you might say, of professional violinists and instrumentalists were put out of work from the theatres and had to find work in other directions.
Oh, yes, I see. Or the small trios and things they had.
Well, see, the theatres had orchestras and of course they put in these recording the speakers, you see, they didn't want
the artists anymore.
Well, it was a considerable saving to the theatres, you see.
Yes. How did you manage during the slump? Did you find any other ways of eking out your violin?
For quite a time we kept going with our own trade, but later on, just before the war, we introduced another branch, as a lot of other firms do in London, in England during the winter time. They have a side branch, a lot of them going for sports and other things. Well, we touched on some of the theatrical side. That is, we had a separate department, that is, of moustaches and beards and wigs and things like that, which were kept in a separate...
Kept you going, helped things along.
Kept the business going, sort of thing.
Were you in London during the blitzes? Did you have any trouble with the blitz at all?
Yes, we had. We were in the early part of the blitz. Of course, everything had to be at the start of the war. Everything had to be cleared down from the top of the house, from under the roof, right down in the basement. We had a considerable store of paper goods up under the roof, which all had to be shot down into the basement, and we made our basement our retreat. And we were down there during the time of the early bombing, and the first barrages. They had every sort of gun possible, although they weren't really effective, but they made more noise than. And we were down there when a landmine, incidentally, was an English landmine, which was dug up in France and dropped by a parachute, and landed on the factory at the back, and the block we were in was stripped right through. You could see right through from back to front, and we were lucky that the blast came from the back and blew the window out into the street and actually saved the instruments.
Otherwise they would have been torn to shreds.
They'd have been torn
to
shreds.
Is that where Nell Gwynn's house was, you were telling me?
Yes, there's along the Hammersmith Mall, there was where I went to do war work on cameras, for the Air Force. It was incidentally in the back garden of Nell Gwynn's house, the house which was presented to Nell Gwynn by Charles. Incidentally, the same place was later demolished by a flying bomb.
Mm-hmm. You were saying about doing work for the Air Force. What was this, precision work?
This was stand cameras used on aerodromes for photographing the wrecked planes and recording different things around the aerodromes. They're just ordinary hull plate cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Made all of aluminium and duraluminium.
Yes, and
I was building the bodies up from the strip metal up to adding the bellows and the lens panel.
Mm-hmm. I believe you also made artificial limbs, didn't you, at one time?
Yes, so I went. I went toward the latter end of the war. I went to the Roehampton, where the artificial limbs were flowing in by the hundreds, by the thousands, practically. Everybody was going hard at it, trying to get these limbs out for the men who were being prepared for limbs. That was what they call they call them BK and AK. BK was below the knee, and AK was above the knee.
Mm-hmm. Going back to violins, Mr. Zetwitz, I never realised that it was a seasonal business. I don't think a lot of people would realise that either.
Well,
you find that summertime does affect you, doesn't it?
It does in England more so. In England it affects because people have so much winter that when the summer come, they're just glad to get out and take advantage of the summer weather, and so the instruments are not taken out, they're just left at home.
Yes.
The violin and most instruments are more or less left at home. So that in the summertime, the music trade sort of falls flat. That's why most firms went in for sidelines.
Yes. And you'll find that there's a large demand for violins in Auckland and for making the instruments.
Well, violins now, there's a greater number of violins being played, and the violin is being learnt to a great extent now than it was when we're here before, although the professional side isn't so big as the amateur side.
Yes. Well, once again, our time's running short. I'd like to thank you for coming in, Mr. Zetwitz, and I hope the listeners have been interested to hear about your work. Thank you very much.